My guest at this time is Pete Sepp. He's the president of the National Taxpayers Union, the largest grassroots taxpayers organization in the country. He joins me now on Tax Day 2017 to discuss the opportunities and challenges facing Congress and President Trump with respect to tax reform. And Pete, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure to be here.
I'm guessing your return is already stamped and in the mail.
My extension is stamped and in the mail, actually.
Very good. Well, let's talk about the reality of where we are politically in Washington right now, because as I'm sure you well know, some people in Washington believe tax reform is now imperiled or on indefinite hold because of the inability to reform health care. They think that has to come first. Others think substantial reforms can still happen. So what is the impact, from your perspective, of the failure thus far on health care legislation when it comes to tax reform?
Well, the failure on the health care repeal and replace certainly doesn't help matters with tax reform. There are those who say that, well, if we had done the repeal of Obamacare first, there might be savings in the overall budget baseline that could be applied to tax reform going forward, making the task of cutting rates and broadening the base a little easier. That's debatable, but certainly the political momentum, the problems that we've experienced with unity in the GOP caucus, especially on Obamacare repeal and replace, do not bode well for tax reform. Plus, it is indisputable that as long as some of the Obamacare taxes remain in place, especially those higher taxes on investment income, it will be difficult to get good, efficacious tax reform through that can also boost the economy at the same time. They're going to have a tougher task in getting those rates down to a level where we can have economic growth of 3 or 4% instead of the very moribund 2% we're experiencing now.
And this is even more important given the fact that while wages are improving a little bit, they're still not close to where we'd like them to be in terms of wage increases, correct?
That's correct. And it's important for policymakers not to do what they often do here in Washington, which is just slouch and say, well, it's too difficult to do anything comprehensive, so let's just do a small piecemeal effort and we'll call it a victory and we'll walk away. Well, I am all for legislative progress and doing what is practical, but we have an opportunity here that may not come in another several decades to do something more comprehensive with the tax system, and we can't afford to pass it up, not because of the politics, but because of many other situations, a perfect storm, if you will, that has both opportunity and peril. We have to remember, right now, our tax system exerts 7 billion hours of compliance burdens on American families and businesses. There are another billion hours of approved paperwork burden waiting in the wings for the IRS to impose upon us, and that's only the beginning. Standing still on tax reform means falling behind. It does not mean more of the status quo. It means something worse. And lawmakers need to remember that. Otherwise, we're going to get into a situation where we have a small cut in tax rates, the overall tax burden shifts only slightly, and the horrible burdens of having to comply with the system remain and actually worsen.
All right, let's go through some quick points here, Pete. And you talked about this a little bit in your first response, but whether healthcare gets addressed successfully or not, what should be able to get done in terms of tax reform either way? What's a quick bullet point list of what you think can get done regardless of what the rest of the legislative accomplishments look like?
Well, in addition to a reduction in rates, both on individuals and businesses, we need to think about simplifying the tax base. Now, for most families, that can mean, for example, increasing the standard deduction and personal exemption so that most households don't find it really attractive or worthwhile to itemize all of those deductions. That cuts down the time and effort spent on the filing process. For businesses, It means simplifying the reporting of expenses. Right now, all of the depreciation schedules and the clawbacks and the exceptions to the rule require tremendous amounts of calculations and record keeping. If we could sweep all that away and say, look, you report your investment expenses and capital expenses up front in the year that they happen, and that is that, we could save a lot of compliance overhead, probably tens of billions of dollars off the $260 billion we now spend in lost time and out-of-pocket efforts.
Pete, I know I ask you this every time. What's the window to get this done?
Well, of course, we had originally hoped that there would be a bill headed to President Trump's desk in August. That seems a lot less likely now, thanks to the delay in health care and the natural inertia in Washington. But I still think we can have hearings and markups on bills in the House and Senate by the late fall, and we might be looking at a bill getting to the president's desk at the end of this year or early next. We cannot afford to let this opportunity slip away. There need to be visible signs of progress, and that means both the House and Senate need to start putting forth actual legislation, translating their proposals into language that we can start debating and marking up.
Pete, as you probably well remember, President Obama, when he first came into office, talked a lot about lowering corporate taxes and some other areas of tax reform, but ultimately never did much about it, even with his party clearly controlling Congress those first 2 years. Does that suggest, though, that there could be some ground to get Democrats on board with tax reform? And I ask that because it doesn't seem right now that there's a lot of Democratic input, and Republicans obviously want their priorities in place, but they also want to get, if they can, to 60 votes, even though they don't necessarily need them in a budget and tax bill, because that would help then make them permanent and not leave just a 10-year window. So what's your thought on that and whether you see any movement on that?
Getting cooperation from Democrats should still be a priority. And if Republicans try hard enough to involve Democrats in the process, especially on the Senate side, they might very well be surprised by the cooperation they'll get. Ron Wyden, for example, ranking minority member on the Senate Finance Committee, has long supported revisions and simplifications to the tax system. You could very well see a situation where you could enlist his support for a number of steps forward. It won't be easy. There will be a lot of arguments along the way, but engaging both parties in this effort will produce a stronger bill and a longer-lasting one.
Pete, a couple of questions. We're talking with Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union. Pete, some folks out there say it would be great to simplify the system. It would be so good. I would love it. The compliance time, like you've talked about, would be such a relief. Yet we got into this arcane tax code because in many different ways, politicians like it. So how confident can we be that politicians, even on the Republican side, actually want to do what's necessary to radically simplify this system?
I think what we need to do is harness the power of the grassroots to say to politicians, look, all these favors you have attempted to extend to us in the name of providing us constituents with relief is not worth the distortions to the economy, the long-run costs to us as families and business owners. It's got to stop. And I think people, as well as even big business owners, are starting to say, yeah, it's not worth it. And what we need to do, again, is make sure that individual families understand the stake they have in tax reform. The House Republicans' blueprint, for example, has been estimated by Tax Foundation to generate as much as $4,600 a year in additional after-tax income for a typical family. That's something that immediately gives that family a stake in ensuring that we have a good conversation about tax reform. This isn't just about cutting rates for large businesses that have operations overseas. It's about reducing rates and complexity for small businesses and allowing the filing process to be more transparent and less burdensome for families as well.
Pete, last question, and given the current political climate and the complexities we've already discussed, I'm not sure how much room there is for this. But in terms of simplification, I'm hearing from a lot of folks who like either the flat tax or the fair tax saying, as long as we're going to do this, why don't we do it all the way? What kind of appetite do you see for anything like that?
It's possible that elements of both the flat tax and fair tax reform plans could make their way into final tax reform legislation. It's going to be difficult to convince Congress to go whole hog on this effort, but that's why groups like National Taxpayers Union exist, to make sure that we push the art of the possible to its maximum limit so that we can get the best, strongest bill that will help the economy, that will make taxes simpler, and will stand the test of time.
And where can folks find you online?
They can look us up online at NTU, our initials for National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. Great new study on complexity in the tax system there.
Well, there's no better site. There's no better person to explain the complexities of the current tax system and how it can be improved. Pete, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Pete Sepp, president of the National Taxpayers Union. NTU.org is the site. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.